If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding, who wears the infidel tag proudly and is a proud traditional American, one of those considered a traitor by the Obama Nation. You are listening to Hour One of the show, where we will try to let you know what is going on in this nation and the things we need to continue to do to save this great republic from being totally destroyed by the Obama and his minions. Now heard through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio, here is your host, Robert Garding.
Last week I had a theme for my show talking about black-on-white murders, and after the show on Sunday during the final episode of Soldiers of Patriotism with Michael B. and Uncle Bing, I found out about this story where a 99-year-old woman in Poughkeepsie, New York, was murdered by a 20-year-old black man named Javon Tyrick Rogers. He was at the time being held for first-degree murder with first-degree burglary charges at around 11 p.m. in connection with the homicide of Fanny Gumbinger, who was 99 years old. Personally, I hope that they throw the book and everything they can find at this coward of a man. And if he was my son, I'd be so ashamed I would never be able to show my face in public again. This is an outrage, and I know the left is going to hit us with more gun legislation over these senseless killings, even though most of the ones I've talked about this week and last were not committed with a gun. And as horrible as this news is, folks, we have to talk about it and get the word out that this is totally unacceptable for everyone and anyone, and we have to call out Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton as to why they are so quick to make a big deal out of a black getting killed by someone who is not black, but do not want to even discuss it when it goes the other way. As every one of the incidents that I talked about last week and this one this week, I say to Jesse, Al, and Barack, shame on you for saying we are all racist and then doing the same thing that shows the racism comes from you. And I know, sirs, that I'm not the only person here in America who is sick and tired of your constant race marketing and working to start up the race war. America was in much better shape racially before Obama took office than we are now. Of course, that's just my opinion, but I have a feeling that my opinion is pretty much the same as most Americans who love this country. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media, the network that Obama and the left wish they could stop but can't, as we are constantly growing now. And you all know me by now. I'm your humble host, giving you the show that you are here every Saturday afternoon for, Robert Garding. We are glad you are all here. Stay tuned for more. I got in here a little bit late this afternoon because I was trying to figure out some other way to do my show because it's like 95 degrees out here. My studio does not have air conditioning as of yet. I've got a little fan on me right at the moment. But it's rather warm in here, but in the house, it was nice and cool. But, of course, there's so many people in there right now that I wouldn't have been able to do the show without all kinds of background noise hitting from everywhere. From U.S. News came this one. It's titled, How MLK's Dream Got Derailed. And this was done the other day. where I wrote, today marks the 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King Jr.'s famous I Have a Dream speech. Dr. King delivered that monumental speech to ensure the words that that the words of Thomas Jefferson, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, lived up to their meaning, just as Lincoln sought to do. It is therefore quite appropriate that the monuments to these three astute Americans are within eyeshot of each other. However, where have we come in these last 50 years, and what is the legacy of that speech today? Dr. King postulated that the Negro is still not free. 100 years later, the life of the American, life of the Negro is still sadly crippled by the manacles of segregation, the chains of discrimination. 100 years later, the Negro lives on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of material prosperity, and that was something that Dr. King had said. There can be no doubt that we have highly successful blacks in all walks of life now, but when we examine the state of America's inner cities, we must be appalled, shall I say, Detroit. We have fought to break the chains of physical bondage, but today the chains of economic bondage are even worse. This is not about social justice, but about ensuring that the economic opportunities of America can resurrect small business entrepreneurship in the black community. Our economic tax and regulatory policies must promote free market growth, investment, innovation, and ingenuity to enable self-reliance. We need to promote the growth of our small community banks in order to provide the capital for those in our inner cities with an idea in their heads and determination in their hearts. The Reagan administration proposed such an initiative, the Urban Economic Empowerment Zones. And Dr. King stated that America has given the Negro people a bad check, a check which has come back marked insufficient funds, unquote. Today, the government is issuing electronic benefits, transfer cards, and even recruiting for enrollment. The government is issuing free cell phones. This is not the dream that King wanted, the nightmare of dependence. North of Dr. King's birthplace in Atlanta, a young black teenager sits accused of shooting a 13-month-old baby in the face. We know of the killings in Duncan, Oklahoma, and Spokane, Washington, the murders in Chicago, and the school bus beatings in Gulfport, Florida. Black males comprise 6-7% of the American population, but are responsible for nearly 55% of the violent crimes. Now, did you get this, people? They comprise of only 6-7% of the American population, but are responsible for nearly 55% of the violent crimes. That is not part of his dream. We are witnessing the complete breakdown and collapse of what was the foundational strength of the black community, the family. Today, 72% of black children are born out of wedlock. That is not part of the dream. It is, however, the result of the soft bigotry of low expectations. Dr. King talked about the promissory note of the Constitution as a declaration of independence as a guarantee of unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When it comes to life, over the past 20 years, there have been some 13 million black babies aborted. The black community would be 36% greater, save for this tragedy, this genocide. How many black babies will never experience King's dream, the American dream? How many will never get to be the next generation of doctors, lawyers, successful businessmen and women, prominent entertainers, and sports figures? This horror is not part of Dr. King's dream. The hypocrisy that is the liberal progressive Democrats support the choice of a woman to kill black babies, but reject the choice of the same woman or parents to seek quality education for black children. President Obama ended Washington, D.C.'s school voucher program in 2009, yet his progeny attend the elite Sidwell Friends, and now the Obama DOJ is going after Louisiana for its school voucher program. Who's going to be next? If you don't think about it, we ain't going to know, that's for sure. Alan West has it right here, don't you think, folks? He really does. And I don't know if I really completely... No, I just... That was from U.S. News, but it was written by Alan West. So it wasn't written by some white guy somewhere or somebody who's not living what would be Dr. King's dream, or who is not living the opposite of what Dr. King's dream was. Alan West does have it right. And that's one of the things that makes people mad about him. He's black, but he is siding with America here. He is siding with the freedoms that America gives. Even though we have a president right now and the liberal left right now in Washington, D.C., who are doing everything they can to make sure those freedoms disappear within our lifetime. It's really sad to think of it this way, but that's the only way we have to think about here. And we now have a new poll out from, of all places, Harvard, you know, the school that Obama supposedly went to, his supposed alma mater. And yeah, I say supposed because everything he says seems to be a lie in some form or another. He has lied to the American people so many times that we can't even imagine how many lies have been told and just how few truths have actually been told. Every truth, I think, that he says has some sort of a lie in it. But from Harvard, where the idea of gun control didn't go the way the left wanted it to, they have a new poll, a new study. From the new show on WIBC here in Indianapolis called Chicks on the Right, comes this one.
About guns. Yeah, we didn't have time to get to the story yesterday, and so I want to make sure that we mention it today, that Harvard, they're coming out with all sorts of studies lately.
Harvard,
the school Obama went to, Harvard, that school, the Ivy League Harvard,
mm-hmm.
The one that people generally consider, you know, kind of one of the cream of the crops of schools.
I've been there.
Yeah, it's a nice school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Harvard just came out with a study that showed that countries with higher gun ownership actually have lower murder rates. And it gets better. Among the nation's studies, those with more gun control tend toward higher murder rates.
No.
Harvard.
No.
Did I mention that this was a study by Harvard?
I think you did. I think you did. And that is, you know, not shocking to those of us with common sense and actual brains.
Yeah.
I know, but it's just shocking for people who are really, you know, wanting to control the ownership of guns. Yeah. So we have some statistics that came out of this. Like, if you look at Western Europe, the study shows that Norway, because Norway has far and away Western Europe's highest household gun ownership rate, 32%, but also its lowest murder rate. Very interesting. And the U.S., which is so often labeled as one of the most violent nations in the world by these gun control freaks, comes in seventh behind Russia, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania, Belarus, the Ukraine in murders. So Harvard, did I mention that it was Harvard that came out with this study?
Yeah, and the murder rate in Russia where handguns are banned is 30.6%. The mm-hmm. rate in the U.S. is 7.8%.
And really what the authors of this study concluded is that the burden of proof on this rests with those who claim that more guns equal more death and more crime.
So those proponents should be, at the very least, they say, able to show a large number of nations with more guns have more death, and that the nations that impose stringent gun controls have achieved substantial reductions in criminal violence. But those correlations were not observed. Because the bottom line is here is that, you know, criminals don't follow the rules.
Exactly.
Hello. Yeah, they just don't. They don't follow the rules. And no matter what kind of legislation is passed, they're never going to follow the rules.
Why is it so hard for people to understand?
I don't know. I mean, you can bang your head against the wall as much as possible, but they don't seem to grasp that concept. You know who grasps it? Who does?
You know, on that audio that you just heard, they kind of rambled, but they were having fun with a subject that is really just downright horrible in this United States. But even so, the message is there. It seems the facts are on the side of the constitutionalists here. Leave the Second Amendment alone and stop trying to take our guns away. That's all we're asking, folks. The proof is there, and it comes from Obama's own school, you know, the one he says he attended. Less gun laws and less restrictions on gun ownership makes for a safer environment. Did you hear that in the audio? Did you hear that America is not the most violent country in the world? Oh, gasp and horrors of everything there. That doesn't help the left's agenda to take away our guns now, does it? Makes one wonder if Obama is going to censor things coming from this old, from his old alma mater. Now, doesn't it? We will be right back.
If you're wondering where Rush goes to do his show prep, you found it.
Conservative Nation Radio has become Conservative Nation Media, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, and the call-in number for you listeners out there is 718-305-7176. Conservative Nation Media is proud to welcome Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance to our lineup on Mondays. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennesseans are spreading out all over America. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure you check him out. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council. Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on Conservative Nation Media, where America always wins.
It's Thursday night, and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody, squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Imagine me, a dog, moving in with a human. I didn't know how it would work. Turns out, my human's pretty entertaining. For instance, every time I give my human his ball, he throws it as far as he can. And I'm like, dude, that's your ball. So I go get it, but he just throws it. Again! I gotta say, though, the more he does it, the funnier it is. I love my human.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
Thank you.
no much blog about the 50th anniversary of the Martin Luther King where MLK Jr. talks about the freedom and liberty of mankind, not just one group of people, all people. That is the kind of man that he was. Today, or actually this was the other day, there was a celebration for this event at the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., where Dr. King gave his speech 50 years ago on the steps. Several ex-presidents attended it, Clinton and Carter, and of course the main narcissist himself, Barack Obama, was there, which he should have just skipped it altogether and stayed away. But Rush put it best on Monday as he talked about what Obama would talk about during this celebration. He would make it about himself. When Dr. King spoke 50 years ago, he talked about being, quote, the best of whatever you are, unquote, no matter who you were. Part of Dr. Martin Luther King's speech was this, quote, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, go out and sweep the streets like Michelangelo painted pictures. Sweep streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music. Sweep streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry. Sweep streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well, unquote. Dr. King didn't talk like he was talking to just black people or just brown people or white people only. He talked to everyone equally. But this goes totally against the way that the narcissist in chief Barack Obama thinks. Rush said on his show on Wednesday, quote, I really think it's a near crime what is being done here, to take the occasion of this man's great address and what he stood for and basically hijack it for President Barack Obama. I would think if I were President Obama, I'd be a little embarrassed that I can't stand on my own, unquote. Amen to that, Rush. Without taking everyone to the cleaners and cleaning out their wallets and pockets, Obama cannot stand on his own. He would fail miserably if he did. And if that wasn't enough, this was also on the Rush Show Thursday. Quote, Andrew Young, the former mayor of Atlanta, has just proclaimed Trayvon Martin Luther King a martyr. Now, did you catch that? You're going to hear that name a lot over the next probably few weeks or months or whatever the left feels they need to say it to get it into our minds that this needs to be what it needs to be. But you're going to hear it a lot from CBS Eyeball News in Washington. They ask, would Martin Luther King Jr. support Obamacare? The president believes so. Unquote. We've got sound bites of this. This is Barack Obama yesterday on the radio with Tom Joyner in Morning talking about MLK event. I could not find that sound bite. Of course, I was busy doing other things, so I probably didn't look as hard as I could have. But Joyner said, what do you think Martin Luther King would say about Obamacare? Now here's the thing. Martin Luther King Jr. can now be used to promote anything. And in the process, I think these people on the left are not at all careful. They're going to end up diminishing this man. They're going to commercialize this man and this speech, and they're going to turn him and what he stood for into a commodity. I mean, they're dangerously close to commoditizing this now, don't you think? But I myself think the left is plain dangerous. They think they can get away with anything if they can just open up their stupid mouths and say it. You know what Obama said to that question about Martin Luther King Jr., about what he would say about Obamacare? Obama said, and I wish I had the audio, oh, he'd like that. Well, because I think he understood that health security is not a privilege. It's something that in a country as wealthy as ours, everyone should have access to. Unquote. Gag me with a spoon. And it doesn't even have to be silver. Plastic would do just fine. The sad part of this is they are using an honorable man who cannot defend himself anymore because he is no longer with us, and making his speech something that they believe in after changing a lot of it to say what they believe. The left, my friends, are despicable. And that is a very civilized description of them. If I used the word that they really are, I'd probably get banned from the internet and from Blog Talk Radio and from conservative nation media and everywhere else. So without any more pausing on this, I hope that Dr. Martin Luther King doesn't roll over in his grave too much. There are still those out here who believe, as he did, that mankind, no matter what color or sex you are, were created by God the Father in heaven, and he created us all equally. God Almighty, we need to be free at last from the oppressive tyranny of the left and Barack Obama. You don't believe me that Obama made this about him? Look at the Los Angeles Times. The headline of the story they ran on this event, King Anniversary puts spotlight on Obama and civil rights. The spotlight was on Obama, right where he wanted it to be. To heck with who the day was really for. Obama is doing his best to make a mockery of the King speech, I Have a Dream, Part Do. My friend Douglas V. Gibbs on his blog, Political Pistachio, said it best about Obama's part in the festivities of the 50th anniversary of the King's speech. He wrote, "Today President Obama is delivering a speech to commemorate the anniversary of Dr. King's speech, and I believe Mr. Obama should not be present and should not be allowed to participate. He has done more to create division than any leader in recent memory. He has used race baiting and class warfare to gain power, keep power, and push his Marxist policies on this nation. He has divided this nation. He has driven a stake between blacks and whites, and he has done much to create an America that is contrary to what Dr. King desired." Well stated, Doug. I just have so much troubles believing that we would keep electing a group of people who care nothing for the truth. They don't care if they're lying about something that happened. Everybody's pretty much left them alone about it, and for the most part, people still do. I mean, of course, they skew it in their direction. Of course, they, when they hold press conferences and things like that, they make sure that the people that agree with them will be there. And they block the other ones. People like me who would love to go to one of these events if I could would probably be kept out because they would know my policies do not agree with what Obama is doing to this nation. And this nation deserves much, much better. And we have to stop voting for these people. And I want to call them something else, but I'll stick with people because I could have children listening to this. But we have to start voting these people out of office, because if we don't, America will become a country that is in the past. And like I'm going to say later on in the show, once America is gone, folks, there will never be another one. We like our freedoms. We like to be able to do the things we want to do. Then we need to start voting these people out of office as soon as humanly possible. We will be right back. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case the leftist government drops the ball, like they always do, and leaves the country and your family unable to get the basics of life in an emergency. Since that's the case, you're going to want a supply depot to get everything from patriotic gear to survival necessities to outfit and protect you and your family. And your pipeline to those essentials is right here at conservativenationmedia.com. Just go to our website, conservativenationmedia.com, and click on the Patriot Depot banner. That will take you to the world's best-known warehouse for all your conservative and emergency survival needs. Wave your flag and be ready for whatever the future holds, starting right now. Just go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the Patriot Depot banner to join the conservative revolution, where America always wins.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com, to stand for America now.
Hey, Billy.
Yeah?
Do you want to go to the state fair?
Yeah.
Do you want to ride the roller coaster?
Yeah.
The big one?
Yeah.
The one with the reverse flip?
Yeah!
Well, you can't. You see, Billy, when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have done with it, including going to the state fair.
Oh, man.
Cheer up. This year, your parents will make it right. They're going to visit energysavers.gov, where they'll get tips on how to save energy and money. Then they'll add extra insulation and get a few of those Energy Star appliances. They could save hundreds of dollars a year. And you know what, Billy?
What?
They'll take you to the state fair next year.
But I want to go this year.
I know you do, Billy. I know you do. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at energysavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
The powerhouse of the Democratic Party visited Austin and fired at the rising star in the Republican Party. You know, we're talking about Ted Cruz here. We got fired at. The war is over your health care. Quote, the most important fight is the fight to defund Obamacare, unquote, said Texas Senator Ted Cruz. That battle cry is getting Senator Cruz plenty of attention. Quote, under no circumstances will I vote for a continuing resolution that funds even one penny of Obamacare, unquote. Cruz said that at an event in Houston. But we have also there Nancy Pelosi, the one who wanted us to pass the bill so we could find out what was in it, that one. She now is saying that Ted Cruz is wasting his time just because it wasn't going to happen, essentially saying that Obamacare is popular with everyone. Now, my question is, what planet does she live on? My idea on Pelosi is this. Against the likes of Ted Cruz, she doesn't stand a chance. She doesn't stand a chance in Hades of winning an argument And the funny part about that is that she isn't even smart enough to know that she has been bested again and again and again. It kind of makes being on the opposite side and actually being on the side where we can say we are right, they are wrong, much, much better and a lot more fun, actually, than most of us are really giving credit for this all being, mainly because we see what she is doing. Now, right at the moment, of course, Ted Cruz really doesn't have the votes in Congress, which really, to me, is another indicator that the people just don't really care. Well, I have to take that one back. The people do care. It's the politicians that do not care. This is an important issue. This is something that really needs to be done. Defund Obamacare so it can't destroy this nation. And it's coming. It's coming sooner than many of us even think. And a lot of us don't even think about it and won't think about it until they find out that all this money that they've been bringing home after taxes is going to be so much less, so much less than it ever was before, because Obama's Unaffordable Care Act is going to destroy this nation from the grassroots up, even from the grassroots down. This Unaffordable Care Act is going to destroy this country from every walk of life. The only ones that are going to be able to afford this are the rich, because they're going to be able to just say, to heck with it. I don't want to be a part of Obamacare. I don't want to be a part of this Unaffordable Act that has been forced on us against the Constitution. They have the money to pay for their own doctors, if they're still going to be around. And they may not be. It all depends on how bad this is going to get, and I have a feeling it's going to get really, really bad. But that's kind of neither here nor there now. If we cannot get a hold of our representatives, or if we can't write them or telephone them and tell them that they are doing the wrong thing, get Boehner off of his ever-expanding rear end out in there and do something. Stop giving in to the liberals who he knows have the wrong ideas for this country. And then he constantly gives in to them. Oh, well, we've got to do this because it'll make friends out of the right left. And we want to have them as friends because then they might let us get something in return. How many times getting this argument thrown back in our faces does this have to have hit us before we suddenly realize that the left doesn't want to be our friends? They just want to be in control. They don't want to be part of a reformation for America. They want to be a part of a destruction of America. They don't want the Constitution as the law of the land. They want what they want as the law of the land. And the sooner we realize this, and the sooner that we get off of our duff and go to the ballot box and vote these people out, the better off this country will be. Because I'll tell you what, we're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and that light is not bright. It's a very dim light, and it's going out as we get closer. And if we're not watching what's going on, folks, we're not paying attention. Like I'm going to say later on in the show, if you're not angry by now, you're not paying attention. This country is being flushed down the proverbial toilet. And the politicians in Washington seem to think that they are doing what the people want. Now, granted, it may be what some of them want, the ones who are too lazy to get up and get a job, or are too lazy to decide that, well, I don't want to be on the government dole anymore. I want to do something for myself. Those are the ones that we have to be afraid of, because it's human nature. Once you find out that you can just take from the government and not have to work, who the heck wants to work? Because nobody is being raised anymore, especially from the left, with the idea that when you grow up, you need to get a job and make the best of yourself that you possibly can. If you're a street sweeper, like Dr. King said, be the best street sweeper that you can possibly be. Do your street sweeping like you're Michelangelo doing a painting. And if you start doing your jobs that way and start realizing that the government is only giving you money that you're giving them in the first place, that without our tax money, the government has none, you're going to realize that with more and more people going out of work, the government's going to have less and less money to give you. And pretty soon it's going to be to the point where nobody's going to get anything free anymore. We will be right back. Let's assume that if you're listening to conservativenationmedia.com, you're a conservative. You love America just like we do, and you don't want to get caught short in case, well, I think I just read that one a little while ago. The summer of 2013 has come and gone. Boy, getting hot in here, it's kind of jammers my thoughts a little bit, but the summer of 2013 has come and gone. So it's a good time to make some changes here at conservativenationmedia.com. Starting this Labor Day, our weekday lineup moves to 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central for every show on the docket for the weekdays anyway. Same great shows, same great people, but now we're on the air at the same time each weekday evening. And stay tuned for some great new voices on conservativenationmedia.com too. It's pretty easy to remember. Just make sure to join us every weekday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com. And here is another interesting story that comes also from Texas. A war of words coming from two in the House, and I started to talk about this earlier. Senator Cruz promising that he would never vote to approve even one penny for Obamacare, while Nancy Pelosi says that he is wasting his time. It isn't going to happen. We are talking about Obama Uncare here, you know, the Unaffordable Care Act. Something that people like Nancy Pelosi and others on the left in Washington just do not get. What they don't get is that more than 75% of the people are against the Unaffordable Care Act, yet we are finding out we are against the idea that government cannot, under the Constitution, well, we are for the idea. The government under the Constitution cannot demand from any of us that we have to buy health care. Health care is not what government is for, and many will not do it. The fines that we will get for not doing it will be less than Obamacare will cost us. from WND came this article on the audio about the war of words in Texas. The more I hear from Ted Cruz, the more I respect and like him and think we need many more of this type of representative in Washington. And we really do. It's something that needs to be done. It really does. I thought I had the audio here for that. I can't find it, so I guess I don't. But Nancy Pelosi, just like all the rest of the liberal-minded idiots in Washington, come across this nation and from across this nation think that if we oppose them, then we are the ones that are wrong, and we are the enemy. Or that we are aiding and abetting the enemy, but nothing, my friends, could be further from the truth here. The enemy is the liberal left because they want nothing more than to play cuddle bunny with the people who hate this nation. They seem to think that doing that will make them like us. But nothing also on that one could be further from the truth. From an article on WND, it said, from KEYE-TV in Texas, a powerhouse of the Democratic Party visited Austin and fired at a rising star in the Republican Party. The war is over your health care. The most important fight is the fight to defund Obamacare. But Pelosi is doing now the same thing that she did back when she told us that we had to pass Obamacare to find out what was in it. And what Ted Cruz is doing right now, he is leading the fight to do what he can to stop Obamacare from hurting this nation. Kind of sounds like he is on our side here, doesn't it? But Pelosi, not so much. We will be right back after these messages. Conservative Nation Radio is now fully optimized for smartphones, such as the Android, iPhone, and others. So you can download our podcasts or listen to us live wherever you are and whenever you want. Same great shows. Same great people, now fully optimized for your smartphone. Conservative Nation Radio, where America always wins. You are listening to the New White Conservatism Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio, heard through conservativenationmedia.com, the network that Obama would love to stop but can't. Call in number is 718-305-7176.
Let me try.
Okay, just remember what I showed you.
Yep, there was a bunny who had one big ear and another big ear. They looped-a-looped, made a bow, and the bunny hopped away. I did it!
Oh, good job, kiddo. Now let's tie your other shoe.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
There are many sounds in your day-to-day life. There are sounds that wake you up. Sounds that make you smile. Sounds that energize you. And sounds that help you relax. But there are some sounds that can alert you to danger and can help save lives. Wireless emergency alerts, now on many mobile devices, use a unique sound and vibration to bring you information about severe weather events, amber alerts, or other emergencies in your area. With critical information from local sources you know and trust, you can be in the know, wherever you are. For more information, visit ready.gov/alerts. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
And just when we think we can get away from this thing we have talked about last week, you know, black on white crime, here comes another one. And folks, I am shaking my head in disgust here. This article I am about to read to you also comes from WND, starting with an editor's note, which he says, Colin Flaherty has done more reporting than any other journalist on what appears to be a nationwide trend of skyrocketing black-on-white crime, violence, and abuse. WND features these reports to counterbalance the virtual blackout by the rest of the media due to their concerns that reporting such incidents would be inflammatory or even racist. WND considers it racist not to report racial abuse solely because of the skin color of the perpetrators or the victims. Videos linked or embedded may contain foul language and violence. I didn't embed any videos from this, but I could have. The original news story from local sources and linked on the Drudge Report said 12 teens raped two women aged 32 and 24 Thursday evening in Wilmington, Delaware, and police were looking for help in finding the suspects. The local Wilmington paper dutifully said the police were searching for teens of unspecified race. Only later was it reported the teens, all believed by police to be between the age of 12 and 17, were also black. Local readers noticed the omission. Maybe they could get some help finding these youths if they could give a description, said Michael Harmon in the News Journal website. They already know the ages somehow. Whenever they got the ages of these idiots, maybe someone could give them the race. Unquote. Another commentator, representative of the many people who used to live in the city but now live in the suburbs, said, quote, once great city of Wilmington has become just another urban jungle, overrun and in many ways taken over by savages, unquote. The local CBS affiliate in nearby Philadelphia made more than just one jaw drop by finally listing details from the police report that were omitted from local stories. The alleged perps were black. They didn't list the race at first, said one reader of the CBS coverage. They got called out in comments, and about 400 posts later, they finally updated without saying update. That is one of the ways that the liberal media gets away with the things that they do. They just change things and then don't say update or correction. As horrific as the crime was, few are surprised it could happen in that neighborhood or that city. Last year, Parenting Magazine named Wilmington the most dangerous city in America. Quote, that Wilmington managed to snag the number one spot on our list for highest rate of violent crimes per 100,000 people. And while the overall state of Delaware ranked moderately well in the Peace Index, which looked at factors such as police per capita, percentage of population behind bars, and access to small arms, Wilmington came in the top spot for sex offenders per capita, unquote. The park where the assault took place is located in Hedgeville neighborhood of Wilmington. This used to be the center of the city's Polish community in the 1960s, but today is largely a black neighborhood with a smattering of Hispanics and white urban pioneers. Violent crime is an everyday fact of life in and around that neighborhood. Local political officials are often found at crime scenes promising to end the violence that regularly racks this city of 70,000. Despite the periodic outburst to the contrary, city leaders are surprisingly tolerant of violent crime. In a recent meeting, the Wilmington City Council voted unanimously to remove the box that convicted felons have to check on city employment forms. So they are working to make sure that criminals can, you know, go after jobs without even letting people know that they're a criminal. Well, we're doing everything that we can to make sure that criminals live the best life they possibly can, aren't we? And it just drives me nuts. neither did one council person refer to the 80% rate of race division that local felons experience after they are released from recidivism. State prison. Loretta Walsh, a longtime member of the city council who only recently gave up her committee chairmanship overseeing the police department, recently said she was furious at a local police officer for telling a victim of crime she lived in a dangerous neighborhood. Several cases of black mob violence in Wilmington were documented in White Girl Bleed a Lot, The Return of Racial Violence and How the Media Ignores It, unquote. Last year, shooting broke out at a soccer game a mile from this rape. One person died, and police found shell casings from 14 guns at the scene. Earlier in August, Wilmington police responded to a crime scene where 100 black people had been fighting in the streets. 4 people were shot. Thankfully, none died. Remember, folks, what Pelosi, Reid, Obama, and the rest of them in Washington stand for. Liberalism, moochers, electing looters to steal from producers. That is a line that I first talked about last week on my last show, and that is something I think needs to be stated over and over again because it seems the American people are being lulled into voting for liberal politicians because of the, quote, change, unquote, that they can bring to us Americans. We have to realize here that they do not want the change we do. They do not want to help Americans to a better life, to an easier life. The only ones that interest them when it comes to a better life and an easier life, my friends, are themselves. More taxes, more revenue to the government gives them just that. And at the same time, that takes more and more out of the pockets of the American people and more of our freedoms guaranteed to us by the Constitution. What? You don't think they are doing that? Look at Chicago. They have successfully undermined the Second Amendment rights of the people there because they now cannot own guns. And here is the fallacy on that gun control thinking. When gun ownership becomes illegal, the law-abiding citizens of America will get rid of their guns because it is against the law. It is the law. They have to do that, so they'll do it. But guess who will keep them and still continue getting them? If you guessed the criminals, you guessed right. Gun control does not work. Heck, even Harvard now says that. Even the school Obama supposedly went to says you're wrong. Don't say this. Sorry, Charlie. Like, sorry, Obama. We will be right back in a few short minutes with the second hour of the new Wise Conservatism radio show heard here on Conservative Nation Media. Please stay tuned for the second hour of the show coming right up after these important messages. And I got that a little bit too early, but that's okay. I can catch up.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Peekaboo. Peekaboo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Okay, so just type the job website address here. That's it. Then you enter what job you're looking for there.
Electrician.
This is Peter. Recently, he got help going on the internet for the first time to look for a new job.
then you just hit search and...
In the past, Peter's gotten work through people he knew, but he heard there were more jobs online.
There we go.
These are all for me?
Uh-huh.
Really?
He had no idea just how many.
I can't believe it. This one looks good.
Peter is thinking the internet might be for him after all.
And this is just one website.
Wow. Why didn't I do this sooner?
See what the internet can help you do at everyoneon.org or call 1-855-387-9166 to find a free training class near you. Brought to you by Connect, Compete, and the Ad Council.
Heartland of America in West Central Indiana comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Garding. We are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, where we continue working for you to give you the truth that is not told by the lamestream media and the Obama bots. We are being broadcast to you through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. And now, here again is your host, Robert Garding.
John Kerry has been talking about Syria lately, and the more he talks, the more I notice that he looks like one of those old men on the Muppets. And I'm sure that I will talk about him more in this second hour of the show. But from WNDUS came this article titled, Al-Qaeda Ready to Storm into Syria if U.S. Strikes? Question mark. Dude from New York, postdated from New York. Thousands of jihadist fighters have mobilized in Turkey and Jordan, ready to storm into Syria if the U.S. begins a bombing campaign, according to informed Middle Eastern security officials. The Islamic militants fighting alongside the Syrian rebels are being directed in part by Turkish, Saudi, and Jordanian military staff, according to security officials. Al-Qaeda and its affiliated organizations are known to be within the rebel ranks. The security official said the jihadists waiting to advance into Syria include members of the Al-Qaeda-affiliated Jihadiyya Salafiyya group. I guess I hope I pronounced that right. It was J-I-H-A-D-I-Y-A, and then the second word is S-A-L-A-F-I-Y-A. The information comes amid increasing likelihood of U.S. military action, with both President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry presenting the case against Syria yesterday, I think it was, or the day before. You are listening to the second hour of New Wise Conservatism radio show, heard here on Conservative Nation Media. We're serious about conservatism and America. You can access us at conservativenationmedia.com and also conservativenationradio.org, and you can email me at robert@conservativenationradio.org. Welcome to the show on this fine day of the 30th of August, I think is what it is. I had the wrong date down there. It's the 31st, I'm sorry. I'm one day behind. The number to call into the show is 718-305-7176. And now, on with the second hour. Obama said he was considering a, quote, limited, unquote, attack, while Kerry spoke of clear and compelling evidence that Assad gassed his own people. Something that is now being kind of backed off a little bit on. The White House released a four-page intelligence document that it said was based in part on communications intercepts, concluding Assad's regime had, quote, carried out a chemical weapons attack, unquote, outside Damascus, killing more than 1,400 people, including more than 400 children. Kerry stated, read for yourself the evidence from thousands of sources. This is the indiscriminate, inconceivable horror of chemical weapons. This is what Assad did to his own people, unquote. Obama, meanwhile, warned against inaction. Quote, it is important for us to recognize that when over 1,000 people are killed, including hundreds of innocent children, through the use of a weapon that 98 or 99% of humanity says should not be used even in war, and there is no action, then we're sending a signal, unquote. That was Obama. The trouble with this whole thing is, as I heard on the radio yesterday, the story coming out of Syria actually, that Syria actually used chemicals in the attack is still not fully confirmed yet, and it may be now. I don't know. I haven't heard too much in the news today. Though Obama is going ahead with the wishes of only 9% of the American people and going against the wishes of the other 91%, you're beginning to see just how much of a friend Obama really is to us. I can tell you that he isn't a friend of mine, nor is he on my side. He is an enemy to the America that I love, and he is an enemy to the Constitution. The big problem is that Obama and the left are totally out of touch with the will of the people and what this nation really needs to be done. From ClashDaily.com comes this article that shows that is true. The article is titled, Schooling the Clueless Left. Angry? Damn straight we're angry. Part 2. It reads, during the last week's piece, I shared some of the former Labor Secretary Robert Reich's liberal hand-wringing over his perception that Americans are very, very angry when, quote, this should be an era of relative calm, unquote. As I noticed, Mr. Reich's piece is an unintentional, hilarious demonstration of just how disconnected the elitists really are. He is the walking embodiment of Woody Allen's remark that intellectuals can be absolutely brilliant and have no idea what's going on. Ironically, Mr. Reich's search for an answer to the question, why is the nation more bitterly divided today than it's been in 80 years, is a little bit like O.J. Simpson's search for the real killer. We should send each of them one of those little pocket mirrors. Leftists like Mr. Reich have been promoting policies that destroy prosperity and American exceptionalism for decades. Still, conservatism is inherently compassionate. So, as promised, let me offer the first 5 of 10 answers to Mr. Reich's question. Just as I said last week, we would love to hear your suggestions in the comments. Next week, I'll share 5 additional reasons. This was from his article. He said, the U.S. economy is in ruins. Mr. Reich, like all liberals of his ilk, bleats a lot about the scourge of income inequality, apparently oblivious to the fact that it is their destructive policies that create poverty and economic misery. Their arrogant belief in the power of their own adept social engineering is no substitute for actual experience in the business world. As Barack Obama totes his teleprompter around the country to speechify to his audiences of backward children, he doesn't realize that he is putting on a clinic of cluelessness about the free market and his lack of knowledge about policies that result in economic growth. This is a man who wrote or built or told Bill Ayers about his hostility towards business, which he viewed as, quote, enemy lines, unquote. He suggested that even high unemployment, which could be blamed on ATM, he suggested that high unemployment could be blamed on ATM machines. Is this any wonder that all the things he celebrates as economic victories are actually failures, including the corrupt GM bankruptcy process, taking on the broken healthcare system, clean energy, successes like Solyndra, and dozens and the Dozen Sons of Solyndra? Given that we've had this clown in office for nearly 5 years, working 24/7 to grow the federal government, shrink the private sector, and penalize success, only the Robert Reichs of the world can be surprised that the U.S. economy remains stagnant and that unemployment remains unacceptably high. 3/4 of the jobs created this year are part-time and low-paying. I realize that in the ivory towers of that Mr. Reich and his friends in the academia inhabit, they're still pulling down 6 figures for sharing their pointless brain dumps. But that is not a reality for the most of us, now is it? I found this article and it just struck me at how much truth is in those few lines. The American right, the Americans, pretty much most of us, even some of the ones on the left, are angry, very angry. The ones on the left, though, are angry because Obama didn't keep his promise and do what he could to help the United States like they thought that he would. But I had no such ideas when he went into office. I pretty much knew exactly what he was up to and what he was going to do, as I feel most everyone who listens to this program does. The summer of 2013 has come and gone, so it's a good time to make some of the changes here at conservativenationmedia.com. Starting this Labor Day, our weekday lineup moves to 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central. Same great shows, same great people, but now we're on the air at the same time each weekday evening. Makes it a little easier to listen to us instead of trying to figure out, okay, what day is this and what time does the show come on? So now we can stay tuned for some great new voices also on conservativenationmedia.com too. It's pretty easy to remember. Just make sure to join us every weekday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central on conservativenationmedia.com. The lawless Obama administration Attorney General Eric Holder, supposedly the chief law enforcement officer in the country, sends misleading or even completely untrue letters to congressional committees, stonewalls their subpoenas, and gives bizarre testimony about recusing himself in his department's criminal investigation of a Fox News reporter. He suggests that federal prosecutors deceive courts in drug cases to avoid mandatory sentences passed by Congress. Meanwhile, his boss, Barack Obama, commits an endless series of lawless actions that demonstrate that he considers duly enacted legislation, including his signature achievement, the Orwellian-named Affordable Care Act, which I call the Unaffordable Care Act, mere suggestions. Time and space limitations make it impossible to list all of his lawless actions. And to me, it's about time that somebody came out and said he's breaking the law. He is not doing what is right. He is lying to us. I thought I was one of the only ones out here who would actually come right out and say he is lying to us. Most everybody kind of, they'll talk about it, but they skirt the issue without saying, actually coming out and saying he is lying. But that's what Obama is doing. He is lying to us every time he opens his mouth. The disconnection of the elites, while many Americans find every day a struggle to get by, Barack Obama and Michelle enjoy an endless whirl of luxurious, extremely expensive vacations, celebrity soirees, and elaborate date nights. They spend more on one vacation than the combined annual earnings of everyone in a medium-sized American town. Mr. Reich, have you ever considered a frozen pizza from Walmart and a movie from the Red Box at a big Saturday night? I didn't think so. The Obamacare train wreck, after promising to televise the negotiations of health care reform on C-SPAN, Obamacare was forced down our throats through a series of backroom deals, prescribes and barefaced lies about our ability to keep our doctors and insurance plans. Even before it has taken effect, we already feel its disastrous effects in layoffs, cut hours, and spouses kicked off of insurance plans. You remember that about UPS last week. The community organizer in the White House back in 2008, imbecile celebrities were proclaiming that, quote, Jesus was a community organizer, unquote, which sadly was as close as anyone came to actually asking what a community organizer does. The reality is that is his job, his job is, in Saul Alinsky's words, to, quote, rub raw the sores of discontent, unquote, to stoke a sense of resentment and entitlement in poor people without leaving them any better off than when you find them. Usually the poor folks end up worse off, but no worries for the community organizer. By then, he has moved on to greener pastures like the White House. Community organizers exist to divide people against each other and create resentment. We have a person with that and little other expertise occupying the White Oval Office now. And are you starting to understand what's going on, Mr. Reich? He finishes the article with, wait, there's more. I'll share it next week. Suffice it to say that if you aren't angry, you aren't paying attention. We will be right back.
The Internet's official Rhino Hunting Safari.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
All right, class. Let's hear what everyone did this weekend. Jill?
Well, I raised my older sister to a big oak tree. It was at least 100 years old. My mom said I must have set a record or something. And then we went down by a stream and perched up on this huge rock and saw all of these little minnows swimming around way below us. And then I rescued my little brother from an evil slug king who was guarding him at the bush fortress. And my sister and I brought him back to our super twig fort for safety. And then we all laid out and told stories until it got dark. And the Big Dipper led us all the way home.
Wow. That's awesome.
Where were you, Jill?
Yeah.
We went to the forest. It's not that far away. Anyone want to come this weekend?
Ask your parents to take you and your friends to the forest this week and find the fun, adventurous you. It's closer than you think. Check out discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Months to find them, but now they're announcing.
From TheBlaze.com comes this article on the teen who killed the 22-year-old last week. He now admits that he stabbed the man to death because he had a hard day and wanted to kill the first person he saw. Now, this one I did get the audio for.
Months to find him, but now they're announcing the motive. which is shocking even investigators. Our Carson Chambers is live in Crest Lake Park tonight with the details. Carson.
And what makes this all worse is that the victim's mother said he was a really hard worker. He had two jobs. He had a dog and a girlfriend that he loved. And also, we know that he came down this street back in January, and it was all taken away from him when he drove through this intersection.
Jason, this was a new route for him. He normally wouldn't go home this direction.
The shortcut he took on his bike was supposed to get Jason Paul home faster from work.
Just had a whole bright future ahead of him.
Instead, stepped away from where Cleveland Street meets Glenwood Avenue in Clearwater.
And that's where he confronted Mr. King.
The 22-year-old shortcut turned into an intersection, a chance meeting with a stranger near Crest Lake Park.
And this just makes me sick that somebody could do this to a person so innocent and so full of life.
Since January 6th, Jason Paul's mom and dad never knew why that stranger stabbed their son to death and left his body for detectives to find. Today, police gave shocking answers about that stranger they now believe is Michael King.
No robbery, no drugs. King was upset, and he just decided that he was going to kill the first person he saw, and that's the person he saw coming down Glenwood.
King is 16 years old now, just 15 when investigators say he gripped his knife and interrupted Paul's shortcut home.
He was upset with family members, and Mr. Paul came down the street.
An intersection between two strangers. Only one walked away from.
Okay, police in Clearwater, Florida on Thursday announced the arrest of the 16-year-old suspected of stabbing a man to death because he had a hard day and just wanted to kill the first person he saw. That came from WFTS-TV in their reporting. Michael King, and it's spelled M-Y-C-H-A-L, King, admitted to killing 22-year-old Jason Taylor Paul for no reason on the night of January 6th, according to police. Paul was stabbed multiple times while riding his bike home from work. Clearwater police had Chief Anthony Holloway said there was no robbery and no drugs involved in the incident. This was a very senseless crime, he added. Senseless is right, folks. It brings to mind one thing. Just what in the heck are we teaching our kids now? I remember that I was always taught that you never let your emotions and feelings get the best of you. You use self-control. We were taught self-control, to always keep your anger in check and never, but never allow your emotions to make you do something that would change your life, your whole life, like getting you to end up dead or end up in jail for the rest of your life. Have some pride in yourself. My thoughts on this is this isn't being taught to the kids growing up much anymore because they do stupid things like this idiot who, quote, just had a bad day and decided to kill the first person who came along. Now, I am sure that each and every one of us out here has had a bad day. And lately, more often than not, I would think, because of the economy and what Obama and his minions have been doing to this nation, but I digress. Again, this all goes back to the parents, folks. Sorry to say, it is the parents who are supposed to teach the children things that will make them a productive and good member of society. And my guess is the parents here didn't do that. And if they did, then they didn't see or they ignored the warning signs, because there will always be those persistent little warning signs that something bad is going to happen. And if they tried to do the right thing but ignored those warning signs, then they didn't do their parental job of getting them taken care of. Like I said, sorry, folks, it all goes back to the parenting skills of the parents. And it might be that I grew up in a different time. Things weren't so helter-skelter all the time of everything that we did, everything that we're doing, everything that's going on. life seems to go on 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 66 days a year, with no stopping at all. I watch my wife, she does the same thing. She's going from the time that she gets up in the morning until she goes to bed, doesn't slow down at any point in time. And I'm always trying to get her to slow down a little bit. And then she looks at me and says, well, you don't. None of us do. But we have to stop and think. When we raise children, we have to raise them with the idea that self-control has to be a part of being a good person. Self-control has to be a part of, oh my God, I'm having a bad day. Let me sit down and relax and watch TV or listen to some music for a while. Let me calm down. But that's not the way it goes anymore. It seems like we've got people who have absolutely no self-control and no morals as to what is right and wrong. And then we'll get somebody like this 16-year-old who was 15 at the time go out and decide, well, I had a bad day today. I'm going to shoot somebody. And it's like I said a few minutes ago, I am sure each and every one of us has had a bad day. Can you imagine the mayhem that would happen and how the world population would suddenly decrease if everybody decided, well, I had a bad day today, let me go out and shoot a few people. That should help. It drives me insane, people. My dad would turn over in his grave if he could hear some of the things that were going on today. He taught me that you have to have self-control. If you don't have self-control, you'll end up in prison. That right there is a good point to tell these kids. You better not go out and shoot somebody if you had a bad day today, because you could end up in prison or dead. You want that, kids? I know I don't want it for mine. And on top of that, I don't want mine shot because they decided to say something that isn't what somebody else would like, and police would be coming to my door saying, well, your daughter was shot today because she said something, and all of a sudden some guy thought it was really a bad thing and blew her away. With this society we've got going today, every one of us who have kids has to worry about that. Are our kids going to be going away to school for the last time today? Or are they going to be going to the park for the last time today? I live in a little bitty town of only about 980 people. I worry about that. There is no crime in this town. The city police sit at the church parking lot down the street and just enjoy people driving past them. They have nothing to do. But I still worry about that, because we have to realize that self-control and personal responsibility have to be taught. They are important. And the other thing we have to teach them is that no matter what you do, there is always a consequence to your action. Whether the consequence is good or bad, it's always going to be there. You do something good, there's going to be a consequence. It may be a great consequence. You do something bad, and there's going to be a consequence. That's just the way life is, folks. That's just as it should be, too. We have to stop thinking that, oh, these kids are just victims. No, they're not. The only thing that they're victims of is the non-ability of being able to control their emotions when the time comes to control them. We will be right back. You are listening to the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show here on Blog Talk Radio through Conservative Nation Media, the media that Obama would love to stop but is finding out that he can't. The call-in number is 718-305-7176. One of the worst nightmares that can befall an American today is identity theft. If it happens to you, it may take months or even longer to recover from it, if you can recover at all. Don't let it happen to you. Protect yourself in advance. Sign up today with LifeLock. LifeLock is a lot more than just your standard credit monitoring service. LifeLock helps to protect your personal information using a combination of data surveillance techniques and outstanding member service 24/7, 365. There's really nothing that comes close to LifeLock. To protect your identity with LifeLock and get 10% off their great service, go to conservativenationmedia.com and click on the LifeLock banner. Network may not cover all transactions and the scope may vary. That's conservativenationmedia.com. Then click on the LifeLock banner. You'll be very glad you did.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I improved my credit score.
You're kidding, right?
No.
How are we supposed to be the bad boys of electrosynth pop if you're out there being responsible? The band is about to be discovered. This is our year.
Yeah, you've been saying that for a while now.
You think anyone in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame was worried about their credit score?
I never really thought that.
Of course they weren't. Rock stars aren't supposed to think about that kind of stuff. We're supposed to think about how many guitars we've smashed, write aggressively sensitive power ballads, start questionable fashion trends, tragically break up and blame creative differences.
All right, just... I thought maybe it was time to take control of my finances, you know? Start using a budget. Get out of debt. Set some goals.
A budget? Debt? Set some goals? Listen, I knew that we'd have our creative differences, but I was hoping they'd involve a little more scandal.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Eat less, eat slower, eat smarter, eat your fruits and veggies, stop eating before you're full, up your fiber, lower your calories, get off the bus early, do some gardening, do jumping jacks, take the stairs, take one, not two, take on a new sport, take a long walk home, walk instead of drive, bend, stretch, reach for the stars, climb the monkey bars, skip the fudge bars. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
Every 20 seconds, another kid drops out of school.
Well, that's interesting.
In their life are more likely to make it. And the difference between a dropout and a graduate could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Oh, that was really fun. I didn't mean to do that, but I turned down the volume of my ad before it even finished. I've been watching outside my window here for about the last half hour. I have a storm coming in, so hopefully it doesn't roll in really bad before the show's over and I lose my connection and everything else. I've been hearing thunder out there, so we've got a storm coming, which is actually really nice because it'll cool down this area a little bit. But one has to wonder why the moral compass here in America's capital has gone so far out of phase with the morality that used to be built into each one of us from childhood and from God. From the Black Sphere with Kevin Jackson comes this one that may show just some of what is wrong. It says, Obama secretly wonders what it takes to be a person of substance. In his most recent attempt to capture what he doesn't possess, Obama brought back to the White House the undefeated Dolphins of 1972. After winning the Super Bowl in their undefeated season, the Dolphins were unable to attend the customary White House congratulations ceremony that happens most all the time since then President Nixon was embroiled in the Watergate affair. Keep in mind that Obama's invitation to have the 1972 Dolphins is on the heels of multiple scandals, Benghazi, the NSA scandal, the IRS scandal, and the Fast and Furious scandal. Further, Obama is responsible for the worst economy since the Great Depression, a debt that can only be explained in astronomical terms, and a foreign policy that is, at best, laughable. Yet Obama has time for 40-plus-year-old remembrances. Regardless, three members of the undefeated 1972 Miami Dolphins decided not to attend the event Tuesday, honoring the team at the White House, and for the right reasons, too. Political differences with the president. The Sun Sentinel reported that Hall of Fame center Jim Langer, defensive tackle Manny Fernandez, and guard Bob Kuchenberg skipped the event. Quote, we've got some real moral compass issues in Washington, unquote, Langer said. I don't want to be in a room with those people and pretend I'm having a good time. I just can't do that. If that angers people, so be it. Fernandez commented that his views are, quote, dramatically opposed to the president's. Enough said, let's leave it at that. I hope everyone enjoys the trip who goes, unquote. Kuchenberg said it would be hypocritical for him to be there, according to the Sun Sentinel. These feelings that Obama has is not uncommon with a lot of liberals today. I think that is one of the things that makes a liberal. They are taught from the beginning that it is good to be successful, but that if you are successful, something has to be wrong and you need to be punished if you don't believe in the liberal way of thinking. That is where laws like the tax system come from. The more you make, the more you pay, and disproportionately to the rest of us, I might add. The rich have to pay the major majority of the taxes collected because they have the audacity to make so darn much. But the real proof of their feeling this way comes when they themselves become one of the rich in this nation. They never want to tax themselves more than the rest of us, and they never want to subject themselves to the same laws that they force on the rest of us. They always figure a way out of these monstrosities that the American people have always had to deal with. Henceforth, that is the main reason that Washington liberals and a lot of the Washington moderates, the Washington moderate right, are so out of touch with the way that the American people are. I have noticed something over the past few weeks and months of doing this show, and it just occurred to me this week. You hear people like Ted Cruz of Texas, Mike Lee of Utah, Todd Rokita of Indiana, and others who are fighting the good fight against the way that the establishment Washington does things. What do you notice about them? I am going to give you like a few seconds to think about that one for a while, because I had an ad coming up, but it's not quite for that one yet, but I'll go ahead and do this. The left can't stand the Second Amendment and Americans' rights to keep and bear arms, and now there's something else that they're sure to hate. It's the Second Amendment Forum, which promises to be a really good show, Conservative Nation on Conservative Nation Media with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. We welcome Max and his decades of firearms and Second Amendment rights experience to Thursday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central, starting September 5th. And that's this coming week, folks. The leftist administration in Washington, D.C. wants to disarm the American people, and Max just won't let that happen. The Second Amendment Forum, coming in September to Thursdays, at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on Conservative Nation Media, where Americans and America always wins. The thing that these people that fight the good fight does that the liberal left doesn't is that they show a love and respect for this nation, what this nation stands for this nation's laws, and for the Constitution. You don't see that much out of the liberal left unless they come along and say, well, yeah, we believe in the Constitution if it's put to them. And that is where the problem lies. The only time that the liberal left will ever agree that the Constitution has to be followed is when they start getting in trouble for the things they're standing for, which anymore most of the time goes completely against the Constitution and the law of the land and whatever keeps this nation as a moral nation in this world. And that is where the difference is, folks. From Daily Caller comes this one about the war on coal from the left. And it is from the state that I live in Indiana. The article says, the war on coal has 5 new casualties. A lawsuit brought by environmental groups has forced the shutdown of 5 Indiana coal-fired power plants by 2018, totaling 668 megawatts of power. Duke Energy announced that it would retire 5 coal plants as part of a settlement reached with the Sierra Club and other environmental groups in a dispute over a clean air permit. Duke was issued by the state of Indiana for its new coal gasification plant in the southwestern part of the state. The 5 plants will be retired by 2018. Now, here's the problem with this coal. They are mining a lot cleaner coal now than they used to. It burns cleaner. There are more controls to keep the pollutants out of the air than ever before. The coal that is being burned in these plants is a lot cleaner than it has ever been before, yet we have people with it who are in the Sierra Club and other environmental groups who want to get rid of these things. To heck with what it does to our energy costs. These coal retirements add to a more than 50,000 megawatts of coal-fired power that has been shut down or slated for retirement since January 2010, according to the Sierra Club. While today's settlement is a step in the right direction, for the left anyway, more must be done to ensure that Hoosier families are protected from rising energy bills and enormous health threats posed by Indiana's reliance on coal-fired power plants. And that's what Jody Paris with the Sierra Club anti-coal campaign said. She doesn't even realize that coal-fired plants are so much cleaner than they used to be. And it doesn't matter a hill of beans to these kind of people. If they figured out a way to burn coal with just a minute speck of pollution, that'll be too much for them. They don't want it. They want us to get rid of it. It doesn't matter to them about the cost of energy, because 9 times out of 10, these people who are protesting like this are either being used by someone who higher costs won't matter, or they're just not thinking. But that's the way that they think about it. As part of the settlement, Duke Energy also agreed to create a feed-in tariff program to purchase at least 30 megawatts of solar power from Indiana customers, or buy or install 15 megawatts of green power capacity. There it comes again, another Solyndra, or more of these great big windmills that if they came apart would slice a building in half. But Doug Eastman, president of Duke Energy of Indiana, said, "We're glad to resolve these issues. From our new, cleaner Edwardsport plant modernizes our fleet and enables us to retire older coal-fired generation. The new plant replaces the old Edwardsport units, which date back to the 1940s and 50s, and were retired in 2011. In addition, we retired two older units in our southern Indiana Gallagher plant in 2012. Okay, with this being said here, do you still think that Obama's goal is not to raise our energy prices till we can't afford to pay them anymore? If you do, then you're just not paying attention, like I said before. Remember when Bush was president, how everyone was up in arms when gas prices hit $1.75 a gallon? I'll bet you all wish it was still $1.75 a gallon, don't you? If you do, you know, and I remember this. I do if you don't. I was driving a tow truck at the time and remember it vividly. Since Obama has taken office, prices for fuel has skyrocketed, and not one in Washington has said a thing about how Obama is causing the cost of gasoline and energy to go through the roof. They don't even think about it. To do so would be racist now, wouldn't it? We will be right back.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict, the war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
You're struggling with your mortgage. You think about it. You don't do anything but think about it.
What are we going to do if we lose the house? Where are we going to go?
At work.
I can't let anybody find out. I'm so embarrassed.
At dinner.
How can I tell the kids? It's going to wreck their lives.
And at 3 o'clock in the morning.
I don't know what to do. I don't know how to get through this. What's going to happen to us?
It's time to stop thinking. It's time to start dialing. Call 1-888-995-HOPE for a free government program that offers expert one-on-one advice about your mortgage options.
I'm all alone.
No, you're not. We've helped over a million homeowners, and we want to help you. And now there are more ways to help. Call 1-888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Also from MinutemanNews.com comes this one that is a subject that most Americans, if they love America, would not agree with. This one has to do with the religion of Islam, and if you love America, it will make you mad, too. In 2010, 70% of Oklahomans voted yes on a state constitutional amendment to prevent judges from using Sharia law in any of their decisions and rulings. The residents of the state did not want to see Oklahoma and their courts using Sharia law over state or federal law, like what has happened in other states. One of the key principles of a republic is that the people rule and decide law. In a democracy, the government assumes the role of the people and decides law for themselves. Former President James Madison once said, "Democracy was the right of the people to choose their own tyrant." In some cases, that tyrant chooses others to assist in their tyranny, as is the case with Chief District Judge Vicki Miles LaGrange of the Western District of Oklahoma. Miles LaGrange was appointed to her federal bench by liberal Democratic President Bill Clinton in 1994. In 2010, Miles LaGrange placed a temporary injunction against the Oklahoma Anti-Sharia Bill, SQ-755, after it was challenged by Mohir Awad, I think is what his name was, the executive director of the Oklahoma chapter of CARE, which is the Council on American Islamic Relations. And wouldn't you know it, the lawsuit was actually filed on their behalf by the ACLU, which I affectionately refer to as the Anti-Christian Lawyers Union. Now Judge Miles LaGrange has taken it upon herself to tell the 70% of Oklahoma voters that their votes no longer matter and that one person has the right to nullify them, as she struck down the law. In her ruling, Miles LaGrange stated, quote, "Having reviewed the numerous statements by legislators who authored the amendment, it is abundantly clear that the primary purpose of the amendment was to specifically target and outlaw Sharia law and to act as a preemptive strike against Sharia law to protect Oklahoma from a perceived threat of Sharia law being utilized in Oklahoma courts," unquote. Actually, it goes on. It says, "While the public has an interest in the will of the voters being carried out, the court finds that the public has more profound and long-term interest in upholding an individual's constitutional rights," unquote. And there you go. They're talking about constitutional rights again, but throwing them down the toilet. She also said voters would not have passed the law without mention of Sharia law ruling that the, quote, "public debate, public discussions, articles, radio ads, and robocalls regarding SQ-755 all primarily and overwhelmingly focused on the Sharia law provisions of the amendment." Ryan Keisel, executive director of Oklahoma ACLU, stated, quote, "This law unfairly singled out one faith and one faith only. This amendment has nothing more than a solution to in search of a problem. We're thrilled that it has been struck down," unquote. Excuse me? I think that these federal judges are as out of touch as Obama and Reid are. And that is a horrible thing to admit to, especially since they pretty much helped to shape our lives here in America with the laws that they pass. Federal judges who make laws from the bench is not what we need. A president who lies to the American people to keep himself from getting caught up in all the lawlessness he is doing is not what we need. Is it any wonder why the American people are constantly being screwed by our own government? As out of touch as they all are there, it's a wonder we have any rights left at all, folks. It's time we stop this incessant forced march towards communism and socialism that the left in Washington has us on, and the right, the elite of the right anyway, doesn't have the backbone to stop it. All the ones that I just mentioned a few seconds ago here, folks, are the ones that have to be replaced. And then we have to remember why we did that in the first place, so they can never get such a strong hold on our freedoms again. America's future depends on us doing just that. Capiche? Morality and goodness needs to be brought back. Competition in games where there is a winner and a loser needs to be brought back. And yes, Virginia, we are losing that one too. Little League kids in some areas have been made so they play the game, but there are no winners or losers. Are we awake yet? Is this microphone on? Is this rant being listened to? I certainly hope so, and I hope people are listening because we are losing both America and her Constitution at a rate faster than any time in our short history, folks. And it's all coming from Washington. You know, those people that we elected? Wholesale ejection of them from office is not the way to do it, but at least take out the ones that are not doing their job. And the ones that have learned to lie to the American people with a straight face while telling us they are not lying. Look at the details of the tax cuts the liberals tell us they are giving us. You know, Obama keeps saying that he's cutting taxes. The details tell the whole story of how they are not really cutting taxes. There is always something else in there that they are leaving out in their side of the storytelling to the American people. That is what we must start doing, or America is on its last legs. Mark my words here, folks. Once America is gone, there will be no other. That is not scaremongering. That is fact. We now have a show every day of the week with the new show starting on September 5th, 2013, on Thursdays. So our lineup now is Sunday nights we have Soldiers of Patriotism with Bing Fisher and Michael Smith. On Monday is Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. Tuesday nights we have Women Patriots with Brenda Ward and Barbara Buffing. And I think Soldiers of Patriotism this last Sunday was the last one that had both Bing Fisher and Michael Smith in it. Wednesday is Radio Free America with Dave Duke Brooks. On Thursday, starting in September the 5th, will be our new show called The Second Amendment Forum with Maxwell Winchester Roberts. Make sure you check him out and listen to this upcoming great show. On Friday is Chris Manti Show with Chris Manti, and of course yours truly on Saturdays. We are growing, folks. There's no getting around that. Conservative Nation Media is growing, and it's going to be fun to watch the liberals squirming as we grow and start putting out more and more of the word that they are not our friends. Until next week, my friends, God bless you all and stay safe. Have a good day. God bless America. God bless you all. Storm is here. Night, everyone.